page 592, section 3, Georgia Politics in World War II. As you read, look for the importance of the military to Georgia, the importance of the defense industry to Georgia, how World War II affected life in Georgia, terms, a credit, civil service. When the war began, Eugene Talmadge was the governor of Georgia. However, his actions during his administration made him unpopular, which enabled a progressive named Ellis Arnall to win the office in 1942. Arnall was in the right place at the right time. He was a reformer, and Georgians were willing to allow reform. Georgia was modernizing, and Arnall worked to continue that process. By the end of Arnall's administration, Georgia had a new constitution, and the state government had been reorganized. Talmadge and the university system controversy. In 1940, Georgians once again elected Eugene Talmadge as governor. The county unit system had given rural voters far more strength than voters in the growing cities. No matter how much the cities grew, they still had the same number of county unit votes. The rural areas remained more conservative than the cities, and this was seen in Talmadge's appeal to those voters. In his two-year administration, however, Talmadge made a major mistake. In his zeal to defend white supremacy and segregation, Talmadge tried to bring politics into the university system. Talmadge wanted to fire Dean Walter Cocking of the University of Georgia's School of Education for supposedly supporting racial integration. The Board of Regents at first approved. After a hearing about the well-respected Cocking, however, the board rejected Talmadge's instructions to fire him. Talmadge then removed three members of the Regents and appointed three new members who would carry out his wishes. The new board then dismissed Cocking. Within a year, other faculty members and administrators had been fired, including the president of the Georgia Teachers College in Statesboro, now Georgia Southern University. In further efforts to defend white supremacy, books had even been removed from libraries. The result was a disaster for the university system's white students. The agency that accredited, gave official approval to, the state's schools took away the accreditation of the white colleges and university in December 1941. 2 months later, the medical college was removed from the approved list of the American Medical Association. These actions meant that students who graduated from any of the non-accredited Georgia colleges and universities would not have their degrees recognized as valid anywhere outside the state of Georgia. The uproar that followed cost Talmadge his re-election. In June, Board of Regents member William S. Morris, who Talmadge had appointed, resigned. Morris happened to be the editor of the Augusta newspaper, which he then used to attack Talmadge, calling his actions un-American. Morris and many others throughout the state supported Ellis Arnall, Talmadge's opponent for governor in the election of 1942. Arnall ran on a platform of getting the accreditation back. He also wanted to weaken the governor's office to keep future governors from exercising the kind of power Talmadge had. Arnall promised a new day for Georgia. 35-year-old Arnall of Newman became the youngest governor in the nation when he was elected in 1942. He was also the first governor elected to a 4-year term. Ellis Arnall. Arnall was one of the major reform governors in Georgia history. Talmadge's actions had made the state of Georgia look backward and non-modern in the eyes of many Americans. Arnall did much to erase that image. He was determined to modernize the state. His major campaign platform was to get back the accreditation of Georgia's universities and colleges, which he did. Talmadge's Board of Regents was abolished and a new one created. Other changes in state government followed. Another of Arnall's accomplishments was a state system of civil service for all state employees. That meant that a person would be hired based on qualifications for a particular job, not because of political connections. State employees could also not be fired for political reasons. several new state boards were given constitutional authority, including the Board of Regents, the Board of Education, the Public Service Commission, the Board of Pardons and Paroles, and the Game and Fish Commission. The creation of the Board of Pardons and Paroles eliminated the governor's power to pardon. Prison reform. Arnold also worked to reform the prison system in Georgia. Back in 1932, Robert Burns had escaped from a Georgia prison for the second time and written a book, I Am a Fugitive from a Georgia Chain Gang. Burns described a system of inhumane brutality, filthy conditions, and corruption. Although Georgia had talked about prison reform since this negative exposure, nothing had actually been accomplished. In addition to prisoners in the Tatnall State Prison in Reidsville, convicts lived in state highway camps and county work camps, providing labor for roads and other projects. The April 1943 escape of 25 prisoners from the state prison led to several investigations of the entire system. The findings showed that, compared to 9 other southern states, Georgia had the worst prisons. After the reports of the investigations came out, Governor Arnold called a special session of Georgia's legislature to pass reform. The resulting laws created the Department of Corrections with a director to oversee the system, including the county work camps. 18 specific reforms also passed, including ending the use of leg irons and whippings, separating young offenders and the mentally ill from the general prison population, and providing rehabilitation through education, training, and religious activity. The result of these changes was a major modernization of Georgia's prison system. A new constitution. As early as the 1930s, the Institute of Public Affairs, now the Carl Vinson Institute of Government, at the University of Georgia, had recommended reforming Georgia's 1877 state constitution. Shortly after becoming governor, Arnold established a commission to do just that. The new commission was approved by the legislature and then ratified by the voters in August 1945. Most of it was the same as the previous document, but some changes were important. For example, this constitution included a new executive officer, the lieutenant governor. Another addition was the Department of Veterans Services, an important agency for the soldiers returning from World War II. Reforming railroad rates. Arnold, an attorney by profession, also led the fight for the entire South against unfair railroad rates. In 1885, railroads had established rates based on regions. The rates to ship raw materials from the South to the North were cheap. It was also cheaper to ship manufactured goods from the North to the South than it was to ship manufactured goods from the South to the North. The higher shipping cost for Southern manufactured goods meant that goods produced in the South cost more in the North and discouraged consumers from buying them. There were already complaints before the Interstate Commerce Commission by the time Arnold became governor, but the investigation had been going on for years. Angered by the slow process, Arnold ordered the Georgia Attorney General to file a lawsuit in the U.S. Supreme Court. Arnold himself argued before the court, trying to convince them to hear the case, saying that it was discrimination in interstate commerce. The Supreme Court agreed to hear the case. 2 months later, before the case appeared before the court, the Interstate Commerce Commission issued a ruling that railroads had to adopt uniform rates across the nation. In other words, the South could no longer be charged different rates. Arnold considered this an important step in trying to modernize the state because it would encourage more Southerners to manufacture goods. Expanding suffrage. One of the most controversial proposals of Arnold's first year was his support for a constitutional amendment to change the voting age in Georgia from 21 to 18. This was during World War II. Arnold argued that if young people were old enough to fight in the war, they were old enough to vote. Opponents, many from the Talmadge camp, argued that young African Americans would be given the right to vote. They also feared that young people in colleges and universities would become involved in politics. When the proposal seemed in danger of failing in the Georgia House of Representatives, Arnold spoke out and allowed the Veterans Administration to send young wounded war veterans to the state capitol. Not only did the proposed amendment pass the legislature, but 68% of the voters approved the amendment. Georgia was ahead of most of the country in allowing young people to vote. The 26th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution changed the voting age to 18 nationally in 1971 as a result of the Vietnam War. That war revived the argument that Arnold had used. Young people old enough to fight for their country should be allowed to vote on their leaders. Enlarging democracy was another of Arnold's goals. He proposed to end the poll tax, which had been passed at the end of Reconstruction. Arnold believed that this would allow more poor whites to vote. While some opponents feared that it might allow more African Americans to vote, the white primary still kept most blacks disfranchised. Arnold convinced the legislature to support the measure, and in 1945 the poll tax was abolished. As with 18-year-old voting, Georgia was ahead of some states. In 1964, the 24th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution ended the use of poll taxes to deny voting in national elections. In October 1945, a federal court said that Georgia's white state primary was unconstitutional. The U.S. Supreme Court upheld that decision in 1946. With the poll tax already gone, white supremacists in Georgia said the state had to be protected from black voting. They wanted Arnold to do what South Carolina had done after the court decision, get the state legislature to repeal the primary laws. That would leave the political parties outside state control so they could choose their candidates without any government regulation. The governor refused to call the legislature into special session to consider such a law. He did not want to try to get around an order of the Supreme Court. While Arnold's action brought him the respect of people in other parts of the country, in Georgia, his progressive stand cost him much of his influence. Arnold himself could not run for a second term, but he hoped that someone who would carry on his programs could get elected. Meanwhile, Eugene Talmadge was using the court decision and the threat of African American voting to regain his power among Georgia voters. He played on white fears that white supremacy might come to an end. The election the year after the war ended was one of the most controversial elections for a governor in the history of the state and the nation. Reviewing the section. 1. Define accredit, civil service. 2. Why did the colleges and universities in the university system lose their accreditation? 3. What was Governor Arnold's argument for lowering the voting age to 18? Page 598. Chapter Review. Chapter Summary. Section 1. Causes of World War II. In the 1930s, Japan chose to take the raw materials it needed for its growing industry from the countries around it. Also in the 1930s, fascist dictators gained power in Italy and Germany and wanted to build empires. Italy and Germany signed an alliance in 1936. When Japan joined that alliance in 1940, they became known as the Axis powers. World War II began in Europe when Germany invaded Poland in 1939. The United States tried to stay out of the war, although it sold arms to the warring nations on a cash-and-carry basis. When France fell in June 1940, the United States started to rearm itself. Planes and ships were built, and the nation's first peacetime draft went into effect. Roosevelt agreed to help Great Britain through the Lend-Lease Act, which gave the president the authority to send military supplies to any country to help it defend itself against the Axis powers. On December 7, 1941, Japan bombed the U.S. naval base at Pearl Harbor, Hawaii, and the United States entered World War II. On December 11, Germany and Italy declared war on the United States. Section 2, the Georgia Home Front during World War II. The South had several major advantages for establishing military bases: large tracts of open, cheap land, lower wages, and a mild climate. Important bases in Georgia included Fort McPherson in Atlanta, Fort Benning near Columbus, Warner Robins Army Air Depot outside Macon, Camp Gordon in Augusta, and Camp Stewart in Savannah. Companies that manufactured military equipment also opened facilities in Georgia. One of the largest defense plants was the Bell Aircraft Company, also known as Bell Bomber. Ships were built along Georgia's coast at Southeastern Shipbuilding on the Savannah River and J.A. Jones Shipyard in Brunswick. These facilities built Liberty ships and later Knott ships. Military and defense installations changed the economy of Georgia. The war put Georgians to work, increased wages, taught workers new skills that could be used after the war, brought Georgians into contact with each other and with Americans from other parts of the country, and began to break down some of the barriers between the state and other areas of the country. Rationing of products such as rubber, gasoline, food, sugar, and other items began in 1942. To add food to their rationed items, citizens planted victory gardens. The government held scrap drives to recycle metals, rubber, and other scarce materials. War bonds were sold by the government to finance the war. In Europe, as the Allies fought toward Germany, they discovered Nazi concentration camps where over 6 million Jews had been killed during the war. The genocide of two-thirds of Europe's Jews is known now as the Holocaust. Millions of other undesirables were also killed. In 1996, the William Breman Jewish Heritage Museum opened its doors with an exhibit on Jewish history and heritage. The war ended in 1945. Page 599 contains a review of Chapter 23.